graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your friendly neighborhood Pinhead 198 back with another episode after a long rest, if I can talk, and celebrating my birthday this week. The batteries are recharged, and I was supposed to do a Dune watch-along on my YouTube channel, but that didn't turn out so well. I was a little bit too inebriated, and it just didn't work out. I felt like a shock trooper being dropped into battle. I was holding onto this bar in my closet, like, spinning, and I was just like, okay. By the 40th minute, I was like, enough's enough. I gotta go to bed. But Dune was fantastic. If you have a chance, see it on the biggest screen, the loudest screen you possibly can. If you can't get to it, then see it on HBO Max, especially if you have a subscription to such platform. There's no reason why you shouldn't see it. Nothing happened. I know, nothing happened because there wasn't like your Marvel movies, booms and explosions every 10 to 15 minutes. I know. It's hard when an intellectual science fiction movie actually comes out and it's hard for people to digest. You don't like the movie, that's fine, but to say nothing happened is, I mean, partially that's part of the book, and you were told going into this film in the very beginning, this is part one of a part two story. I hate to break the news to you, in the second half, a lot might not happen for you too. There's a big battle, yes, but you're not going to get your bleeps and bloops and blow-ups like you always want in all these films that you think like are the standard, which they're not. And I'm not saying this film is the standard, which some can argue it is, and they'd have a valid argument, but these films are not the standard of how films should be made. They never have been, and they never should be. It's great to enjoy a brain-dead Marvel film or whatever, but they are not the standard. That's one thing Scorsese and company did get correct. This is not the standard in how films should be made, and it never should be. But Dune was fantastic. I don't know if it's a 10 out of 10. I have to see it a couple more times. I've seen it 6 as I'm recording this right now. Tried to see it 7 last night, as I said, but that was just not in the cards. But it was a good week, you know. Got some much-needed time off from work. I'm ready to go back and hammer out the last couple of months in there, getting as much time and saving as much money as I possibly can so I can get my own, pay insurance for a car and get my own place. So we're going to have to start getting into gut check territory, and that's a little difficult as we go into the holiday season. But hey, Black Friday's around the corner, so I might spend some on that and get everybody's Christmas gifts and say fuck it, and then just save all the rest, because we're coming to the holiday season, and before we know it, tax season will be up, and that, whoo, what a treat that is. As much of a treat as Halloween Kills was, you know, I don't know which one I'd rather do, watch that again or my taxes. I'm leaning more toward taxes just for the simple fact I like my tax lady. She's a good person, so, and she deserves the work that's given to her. So I probably lean toward more taxes than seeing Halloween Kills again, and that pains me to say, but it's the truth. However, Dune was fantastic. It's the best movie. I don't know if it's the best movie I've seen this year. It's definitely the best Hollywood film I've seen this year. That's for damn sure. The Snyder Cut, maybe a close second, maybe. But I definitely put this far above the Snyder Cut, and I'm sorry, but it just is, it's a better, well-made film, and it doesn't take 42 hours to get through to see it. Plus, Warner Brothers, unlike Zack, they didn't fuck with Denny as much as they did Zack, so he kind of had an option to make a better movie, because he didn't have as much studio interference, because truth be told, the studio, they know nothing about superhero movies. They know even less about Dune. So, and we'll see, you know, can they continue this sci-fi epicness with Matrix 4 in December when you're putting it close to Spider-Man, which is fucking stupid. you know. It's like the last time that the last Bond movie, regardless of how we felt about Spectre, you know, them putting the Charlie Brown movie the same day as that movie being released. I wonder who was going to win that battle. And this was before COVID. So, you know, you do yourself a disservice doing stupid shit like that. But we'll see, you know, maybe Neo and Trinity can pull out beating, you know, the New York wall crawler. I highly doubt it. Because this is a Marvel Spider-Man, not a Sony, so... Good luck with that, Matrix 4 company, because you kind of shit the bed on this one. But we'll see if they continue. I highly doubt it, because I don't need to see the movie to know Matrix 4 is going to be an absolute fucking shit show. And with both of the Wachowski siblings not doing it together, that's even further a testament of this movie shouldn't have been made. At this point, it's just because of Lana's ego. But we'll see. We shall see. Got Lady Gaga coming with what might be another Oscar-nominated performance in House of Gucci in November. That I'm looking forward to. And not just because of Lady Gaga, obviously, but I want to see Ridley do a good film again. This fucking man, AI meeting man shit with Prometheus and Alien Covenant, it's gotta go. Enough is enough. We don't care anymore. We don't care about your obsession with fucking robots being combined with human people to make this uber AI humanoid. Like, no one cares. And you stop caring in Alien Covenant. We saw it very clearly, so... I just want to see a great... Hell, a good at this point. I would really love to see a great Ridley Scott film, but... And maybe The Last Duel is it, although my friend who's a diehard Ridley Scott fan, he's an apologist for him, especially Alien Covenant even, he did not like The Last Duel. And that's a bad omen because he apologized, even The Counselor, which was dog shit by Ridley, he enjoyed that for what it was. So, he did not like The Last Duel, and that's not to say that that is the end-all be-all. However, when a diehard fan is not a fan of it, especially when he's apologized for his other dreck that he's done, it's not a good sign going into the movie. But hey, maybe House of Gucci will be it. You know, you got Adam Driver again, who I love, and Jared Leto, who is almost unrecognizable. So I'm interested to see where they take this story and how it relates to, I guess you could say, the tragedy. Because what is the synopsis on this film? House of Gucci is an upcoming biographical crime drama film directed by Ridley Scott based on a 2001 book, The House of Gucci, a sensational story of murder, madness, glamour, and greed by Sarah Gay Forden. The film stars, we know who it stars. So yeah, they are going to add that criminal murder aspect to it, which I am glad because I want to hear more about that. We got Jeremy Irons, you know, Selma Hayek. It's got a really good cast. We just hope Ridley doesn't shit the bed on this one. I'm hoping this is his trip back to the Oscars, him and Lady Gaga both, so we shall see. That comes out the 24th of November. Damn, toward the tail end, so we got a ways to wait for it. It'll be clocking in at 2 hours and 40 minutes, just enough time for Ridley to get into that sweet spot right before he starts fucking it up. Unless he starts from the beginning, and we'll see. Got Last Night in Soho, already got my tickets to that, and Antlers the following day. Looking forward to both of those, especially Antlers, because in the horror community, Antlers is making some huge waves. So, people are saying that this is a goodie. True terror, true genuine scares, the monster, like, there's been pretty good positive feedback for the people that have been fortunate enough to see Antlers already, and I am looking forward to it. Yes, I'm looking forward to Edgar Wright's Last Night in Soho, but Antlers is where it is for me because I'm interested to see Scott Cooper doing a horror film. A straightforward, no bullshit, no nonsense horror film. That goes into, you know, hopefully if done right, that great episode of The X-Files, you know, talking about the Wendigo and some of the great Stephen King things that he's done. So if they do this right, it could be a great cult classic for all of us. Not just in the horror community, but in the genre community altogether. So a good genre picture that we can just go, yeah, that was a good time at the movies. We'll only be in theaters, thank God. We need to stop this two-tier streaming bullshit where you stream it on. That's all well and great, but some of these films just need to be specifically in theaters, non-streamed, and this is one of them. You did it enough with Halloween Kills, you don't need to do it with this film, because this film is not an established IP, and it needs all the money and eyes it can get. And I know you, logically, you should put it on a streaming service. Fuck that. Let the art be art. And go to the art houses where they belong, which are the theater. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to that. God, we just came off of that was one hit to the vacation. It wasn't really a hit, but God, luckily I got to see Dune afterwards, but we got what was an absolute treat of a pay-per-view from WWE once again, phoning it in with the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. Whether we like it or not, Crown Jewel was a major pay-per-view. It was more important than Hell in a Cell or TLC. And some can argue this was to be more important than what will be Survivor Series next month. Because they'll phone that shit in too. They're already starting to show the signs of it. But no major titles changed hands here whatsoever. We got nothing but shenanigans through most of the major championship matches, especially the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match. What a fucking joke that was. The Goldberg match. It was a squash match for 15 minutes, and then Goldberg became Super Saiyan Old Man Goldberg. And just pulled it off. You know? It's insanity to me. And then at first they sold this as a no-holds-barred match because you fucked up and you showed it on the title card that it was a no-holds-barred match. And then you turned it into a false count anywhere match at like literally the last couple of minutes. I'm like, what are you talking about? You build this as a no-holds-barred match. Now either you screwed up on the title or you screwed up on the final decision-making. Either way, it was a screw-up because it was on the title card, no-holds-barred. And you turned it into a false count anywhere. That is not a no-holds-barred. And we need to stop doing this shit, especially in the wrestling community where we blur the line. Well, they're the same matches. No, they're not. Just because a match has a no-disqualification stipulation stated inside the match does not automatically, mutually, exclusively make it a no-holds-barred match. False count anywhere matches are self-explanatory. That means a fall can count anywhere. You can fucking pin someone on an audience member if you wanted to, legalities aside, and go for the count. That is not a no-holds-barred match. So it was an utter shit show. I don't know what it is about Saudi Arabia, anywhere, wherever they hold these Crown Jewels events, but they never can ever have just a smooth pay-per-view throughout. There's always got to be. They have fuck-ups all the time. But the fuck-ups are noticeable when they go to Saudi Arabia and do the Crown Jewel events. They're exceptionally noticeable. Lest we forget the fuck-up that was Degeneration X versus the Brothers of Destruction, which I believe took place in Saudi Arabia. That was a real treat. Everybody fucked up on that level. I know Undertaker was down on himself, Mark, and he was... Nobody, you weren't at all... solely to blame. Y'all fucked up. And you guys just can't get this right. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. So, you guys need to clean it up. And let me make sure I was correct. Yes, it was the Crown Jewel event. So you guys can't do this. I just don't get it. It's a joke. And then you fuck it up again because you guys had another no disqualifications match at the Super Show, and that was a treat, too. I just don't get it. This was phoned-in bullshit. No one believed that Brock was going to lose to Roman Reigns unless you did the shenanigans you did. And you guys went above and beyond the call of duty with shenanigans. That F5 knocking the ref out was so predictable, and you could see it. A blind man could see it 1,000 yards away. And then at that point, you're like, okay, Roman's keeping the title. And no titles change hands. Second thing is, and I know that this has been a thing for a while, it's a nitpick of mine within every company now. What happened to the old tradition of when the champion came out last because it meant something of prestige? Yeah, it didn't matter how big the name was that he was facing. The champion always came out last, and we just threw that away. Just to get pops. Cheap pops, nonetheless. Very, very cheap pops. That's the only reason why you've thrown that out over the last few years. And it's aggravating to me as an old diehard wrestling fan because it put more idea of prestige on whether you liked the champion or not. Him coming out last minute, yeah, the big man was coming out last. He's the champ. You wait for him, not the other way around. And that's how it should be in any combat sport, whether simulated or real, boxing, MMA, wrestling. Like, this idea that the champion comes first just for cheap pops is fucking ridiculous. And it's insane to me. But that's a minor nitpick compared to the overall disaster and dumpster fire that was that event. You phoned it in at Extreme Rules, and you phoned it in even more. I understand phoning it in at Extreme Rules because the pay-per-view shouldn't even be a fucking thing. But when you're going to Saudi Arabia where the house is packed more than most houses you do here in the States, regardless of if it's forced or not, those poor people have very little to live for, especially in a dictatorship like that. And you can tell me about all the changes and the progress. Yeah, that's why the women still have to wrestle in shirts and guys can show their skin. Because they've come so far with progress. Get the fuck, miss me with that bullshit. The fact of the matter is, these people who may, whether they agree with it or do not agree with their government, this is one of the few things they have as an escape, and you foam this shit in for them. Good job, WWE. You're doing the Lord's work out here. And this is why a lot of us can't stand your ass, and that's why, even though Tony Khan needs to shut the fuck up and has no really legs to stand on yet, because you're still a young company, whether you got the momentum you have or not, but that's why there's a lot of validation in Tony Khan's criticism of the WWE, and he keeps punking them and roasting them and trolling them. Not for nothing, Tony Khan, you are living rent-free inside Vince McMahon's head, because if you think that Vince McMahon gives two fucks about you, you're out of your tree. He doesn't even care about half the people that work in his company. He doesn't even care about a lot of the people that are in his own family. What the fuck do you think a dust mite like you is going to be in his head? Almost half a fraction of nothing. So, you need to slow down the boat there before you go off the fucking edge, dum-dum, and send your company into the tomb. Because I'm going to tell you, if your company goes in the tomb, that'll be it. And there ain't going to be no Indiana Joneses going out there, a Tomb Raider, Lara Croft, looking for your relics. You'll just be dead, and the WWE will continue on in complacency until the entire wrestling profession is dead. Because, you know, we don't like that word anymore. It's not professional wrestling. It's sports entertainment. So just keep it up. Keep it up with the excessive spending and the constant flapping of your gums. You'll see your company die in 5 years. Just keep it up, Mr. Khan. Because daddy's only going to fit the bill for so long until he goes, you're fucking up too much. You can't keep your mouth closed. the Bank of Khan is now closed. And then that day comes, Mr. Little Man, you're fucked. So slow it down. But at any rate, it doesn't take away from the fact that WWE's last two pay-per-views, and this one included a major pay-per-view, was absolute fucking dreck. Luckily, I got to see Dune right after that 4-hour and 18-minute pay-per-view. That's another thing. Big events like this, I understand, but your who-gives-a-fuck pay-per-views like Extreme Rules and Hell in a Cell, and hopefully, if the rumor's true, thank God we're not getting it this year. TLC, there's no reason that should be over 3 hours whatsoever. After that, you're just dragging it out and saying, look at me, I'm the last of the big spenders. And at that point, none of us give a fuck. Once you get to the 3.5-hour mark to a pay-per-view no one cares about, including the company, it's kind of hard to watch it for 4.5 hours. Then we're getting into chore territory, like, you know, mopping the floor, doing the dishes, vacuuming, taking out the trash, which some of y'all need to be taking out in this company. And I'm talking about management. So it was a pathetic pay-per-view, another 3 out of 10, and that's being generous. And only because of the young ladies, even though that ended in shenanigans. I'm so sick of matches just not ending clean. You guys paint yourself in the corner with these triple threat matches, and then you can't end the match clean. You have to play fucking shenanigans. And it grows old. It grows really fucking old. Really old, real quick. And because we're paying for this shit. It would be different if you were giving it to us for free. And that's why a lot of people sell the Seven Seas and pirate this shit. And I don't blame them. Because you're asking too much for too little. Especially for those people that are still insane to pay for the pay-per-view. At a $60 buy rate. That's insane. So, on a good day, 50. It's still half of 100. That's insane for a phoned-in fucking pay-per-view. It's insane. That's why when why are you still calling pay-per-views? Because they're still under the guidelines of pay-per-views. Because, make no mistake about it, they still sell the pay-per-view on cable and people still buy it. A lot more people nowadays buy the pay-per-view over the Peacock subscription because they know, at the very least, for the extra money they're paying, the pay-per-view won't fucking crash into the ground like a stealth bomber. So, it just grows frustrating. Extremely frustrating. And this pay-per-view was another testament to the reason why. So childish. And you guys are practically given the material away to AEW. You better hope that Tony Khan and company never figure this shit out and keep fucking it up. Because the day that light bulb finally clicks on how to run a legitimate wrestling company, I'm telling you, WWE, in the proper amount of spending, they have the better capital than you do, because his daddy's willing to do this shit for a time as long as it's building profit. And if the light bulb clicks on and they figure it out, especially Khan, and gets rid of the fat that's on the steak and it becomes one of a great 5-star restaurant steaks, you're going to be in some heap of hurt, Mr. McMahon, because you just don't care anymore, and these people do. One thing I can say, and that no one can argue about, even with their fuck-ups, AEW is full of passionate people who actually care about the business. So you better watch your ass and stop these games. Because when that light bulb clicks, like I said, you're fucked. You're going to be back in the Ted Turner WCW days before the AOL deal. When they were kicking your ass for weeks on end, over a year. So you guys better get the shit together before you both kill the entire industry. And you're coming dangerously close. Both of you. But that's my rant for that, because, God, it was I'd rather Brock come to my house and put my head through a fucking wall over having to sit through that 4-hour pay-per-view. And I'm not being funny. I would have rather Mr. Lesnar come in and said, well, it's either the pay-per-view or the wall. I would have said, Mr. Lesnar, I'm gladly going to take the wall. I'd be honored for you to put my head through the wall over this dreck pay-per-view. Wall it is. And I'd got far more value out of the wall, even with the hospital bills, over that pay-per-view. And that's 3 out of 10, and that's being generous. We're heading into full gear. I don't know how well that's going to be received. I mean, Britt Baker is putting her belt on the line. You couldn't get Thunder Rosa. We're going backwards with Britt Baker. So, from what I'm being told from the last episode of Dynamite, it was Dynamite, all right. Dynamite shit. See, I can't even remember who her opponent is. It's Chris. No, it isn't. It's some bum. Let's see who she's facing. Ty Conti. That's right. The failure from the Mae Young Classic in WWE. And I don't want to bash on Ty Conti, but Ty Conti has failed against Sheeta. You cannot tell me that the woman that Britt Baker beat, that woman that beat Ty Conti is going to come and beat Britt. And this is for a major pay-per-view going to finish out the year of AEW's pay-per-views. The question mark was busy, I guess, in NWA. That would have been a far more suiting, you know, Britt Baker versus question mark. If we're going to be this goofy, and I'm not trying to knock Ty Conti, and she puts in the work and busts her ass, but she is not ready, not only for a title run, but a title opportunity. And this is your female main event for the title at Full Gear. That'll be a treat, and we'll get plenty of false finishes, and she might do it, but in the end and the long haul, you're not going to tell me Britt Baker's going to lose the tie. She's going to, spoiler alert, she will retain the title at Full Gear until you pull that fucking trigger of either the Thunder Rosa rematch or her going up against Jade Cargill. There is nobody believable left that Britt has not gone through. She already beat Sheeta. Sheeta was the last believable badass that could contend and beat Britt Baker. And she's done. That's why she's back on the road to redemption list now. So who's left? Nyla Rose, she's been beaten, dispatched. You're not going to pull the Thunder Rosa trigger because you know Thunder Rosa could kick ass. The only other person you could bring in is AK. From NWA. And that's not a full-time AEW wrestler. So what are you going to do? Ty Conti. Because you guys have put yourself into a corner again. And that's why I say they need to find the light bulb. Who is CM Punk going up against, you know? He's already going to have his match with Fish, or he just did, if I'm not mistaken, on free TV. Who is he going against? Short of the Dragon, Bryan Danielson. And you've already got Bryan Danielson tied up, so who? He's in the tournament. You know, this is not looking to be one of the better pay-per-views. I will admit the last pay-per-view was fantastic. They did a great job. Even beyond my bias of I love CM Punk, they did a great job, and now we're going 8 steps back. So, we'll see. They have until November 13th to get this all together when the pay-per-view is aired. So, we'll see. But it's not looking good, folks. It's not looking good. Roads to the Grot finally ended. I did not watch any more of the episodes. I cannot do it. I just cannot do Roads to the Top. They're so pretentious and arrogant, as you heard in my review and preview of Roads to the Grot. I'm so glad this is over, and it ended a lot sooner than I thought it would, but it's done, hopefully for good. You know, more shenanigans, but hey, The Miz was Pinhead on Dancing with the Stars, so there's that. This is why it's such a fucking joke, man. Like, even outside of the wrestling ring, you guys expose the business. And gleefully do it, too. I'm all for people making that bag, getting that side hustle and paper on the side, but when you expose the business in the process, you should be thrown the fuck out of the business. That's just my opinion. If you're, it's one thing to do some fuck ups and mistakes, but when you're gleefully exposing the business and doing shit like this, you should be thrown out on your ass as hard as possible. Because you have no respect for the business, so the business should have no respect for you. Fuck you. Get out. That simple. But you know, these bookers, they have their heads buried so far up their own asses, and one in particular who's dominating the scene, who's been dominating it for decades, he just doesn't fucking care anymore. And you know who that is. That's the old man. He don't care anymore. He's made all the money from the Saudi government, all the money from NBC Universal, all this money from fucking Fox. He made a kill. That deal that he took a bath at the second time around with the XFL because of COVID hitting hard, that money, that big bath that, oh, this is the end of Vince McMahon, nope, because Fox and the Saudi government bailed him out. So now not only is he back in the black, but now he is, if he's not already, that much closer to being the billionaire that he wanted to. He's taken blood money for it, legitimate blood money. But hey, you're a billionaire now, Vince. Congratulations and kudos to you, you crooked fuck. You only had to step on everything that was valuable in your life, your family, your father's legacy, selling out to a corrupt government. But hey, you're a billionaire now. You finally beat Ted. You beat old Teddy, your arch rival. Good for you. Your morals and ethics are in question, but hey, what does it matter when you're making billions, huh? And the company is worth more than it ever has been in its entire lineage. Even more so when The Rock and Austin were running around. This is the most profitable the WWE has been in decades. Especially when they went mainstream and got on the stock market and all that bullshit. So, congratulations, Vince. You're doing the Lord's work. We're all proud of you. But that's that. The next episode, I'm going to try and, like I said, I'm going to try and read The Hellbound Heart. Looking forward to that. Yeah, Meg Thee Stallion, I guess it's Pinhead season because she just revealed on her Instagram and Twitter that she's being Pinhead for Halloween. And I gotta tell you, I like me thick black girls. Thick black girls and Latins, and I'll tell you, kind of was a strange erotic turn on seeing her mutated into Pinhead looking the way she was looking, so, but we'll leave it at that because I'm trying to somewhat keep it, you know, not family friendly, but we don't need to go into, you know, Pornhub territory. But I guess it's Pinhead season because The Miz was making a mockery of himself on Dancing with the Stars dressed as Pinhead with his Cenobite girl dancer, and now she's doing it. Congratulations, Pinhead, you're in the mainstream. It only took you 30 years, but here you go. So, that's great. The next episode, I'm going to try and read The Hellbound Heart, maybe. I want to give a full review on Dune, but I want a little bit more people to see it. And we're going to do the spoiler-filled Halloween Kills review of why I don't like it, why I think it's a complete and utter disrespectful slap in the face to the legacy of Halloween. And we're going to discuss where we could see this actually going for the final Halloween Ends movie. Please end this. Please. I implore whoever is in charge of this franchise, Jason Blum, whatever, please end this shit. You're not going to because you've already talking about the money you want to make, siphoning off what you want to do after Halloween Ends. So this is not going to end, ladies and gentlemen. Regardless of what happens on Halloween Ends, spoiler alert, Jason Blum himself, the king of genre, you know, he's a regular Roger Corman of this era. That's a laugh. I can't even say it with a straight face. He's already said we're going forward after Halloween Ends. It may not be with Michael, but we are going to continue this legacy. What fucking legacy? You've wiped it all out, especially with this film. You put a nail in the legacy's coffin, but we'll get into that on the next episode. That's a discussion for another day. So, there's that. I love you guys. I wanted to put an episode out before I got back to work, and we'll be doing a couple more before the week's end. So, I hope you guys are having a good one so far. Let's get to that weekend again, and love you. Take care of yourselves. Until next time.